I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Now, I have to follow instructions because the Holy Spirit told me to read this whole chapter. So it's going to take me, we're going to attempt to read the whole chapter. But I know what the Holy Spirit does. He gets you to do something, and then he gets you going in that vein. Then he'll do some other things. So we're going to trust the Holy Spirit this morning. Last night, we were sitting at a table, and Dr. Thompson prayed a certain way. He said, he let one of us usually pray over the meal. And last night he said, let me pray because I have a certain way I want to pray. So in this second chapter, when he hit that scripture that I'm going to get to, the Holy Spirit told me that's the scripture you've been looking for. Now, I know this scripture. I've read it a number of times. But when he said it last night, the Holy Spirit said, that's the scripture you're looking for. Work from that standpoint. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. So we're going to read this whole chapter, and when we get to that particular scripture, I'll let you know. So, because I want you to put focus on it. This morning, I want to deal with sowing is a natural action, but it's a supernatural transaction. Sowing is a natural action, but it is a supernatural transaction. In other words, you know, sowing we know it's a natural law. We see trees drop. It's fruit on the ground. If we're not there to pick them up, the seeds in the fruit. Seeds hit the dirt. It begins to germinate things. So it's a natural law. So we know in us, even for us to activate the law of sowing and reaping, we it's a natural action. We have to take something that's valuable to us and die to it. That's what a seed does. A seed has to go and die. Lets it become weak, fall to the ground, die. You know, it cannot multiply. So we have to die to it. So when we say, other words, die to it means separate from it. So if we take something of value and separate from it, that's us sowing, all right? So we take our money and give it away to where God has told us to do, then we've separated from it. It becomes a seed. It's a natural law. It's a natural action of sowing. But when you do that, what you begin is a supernatural transaction. Now, the difference between action and watch this. Action is emotion, but transaction means things begin to happen at a speedily rate. All right? I receive. So what I mean by that is, in the supernatural, when we separate from something of value to us, we now have allowed God to do what he has designed the supernatural to do. So a transaction is an exchange of money, goods, and services. So that has to happen in the supernatural. Are you seeing this? So let me read this chapter and we'll get right to it. And when I read this, I'm not reading this to as in the same frame of mind as Paul as I'm talking about myself. But I want to read this because I want you to see how Paul began to rely on something else. All right. He said, and I, brethren, when I came, verse 1, came to you, came not with excellent speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Watch this, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are mature or perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world that come to naught. Watch this. How we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. Even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. It didn't say unto his. To ours. Unto our glory. Or a better word we can put there, unto our success. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9 and 10. This is what I want you to focus on. We're going to read past them, but I need you to focus on these. I know you know these scriptures, but we're going to look at them from another light this morning. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared, past tense, for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. This is important. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, watch this. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. In other words, he that is spiritual questions everything naturally. In other words, before you make a move, because you're spiritual, you have to question it and say, is this the way I'm supposed to go? Is this how I'm supposed to do it? Watch this now. Yet, the B part of that verse, yet he himself is judged of no man. In other words, nobody can come and challenge you about what you're doing if you're in the supernatural. Not only can they not judge you, but they can't stop you. But yet we have the ability to stop others. When they cross our path and trying to stop us from doing what God has called us to do, we have the authority to stop them from doing it. Verse 16. This is important. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now, every one of y'all thinking that's talking about giving God orders. That's not what that's talking about. It says, but who has the mind that can join? That's what that Greek word really means. When you look up the Greek, it really means who has the mind that can join, or a mind that can comprehend, or a mind that can grasp God. Are you seeing this? And watch what this last verse says. The last part of this verse. But we have the mind of Christ. Are you seeing this? Now, I'm dealing with prosperity now. I'm dealing with it because sowing is a natural action, but it is a supernatural transaction. Go with me to Galatians, the 6th chapter. The 14th verse. Galatians 6 chapter, the 14th verse. Glory to God. Paul talked again. He said, the 14th verse, but God forbid that I should, or that I should be successful, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now here, watch this. Verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. In other words, Paul is saying it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. If you're not standing on the foundation of the cross, Hebrews 11th chapter. Work it. He said, Paul said, God forbid that I become successful any other way but through the cross. Hebrews 11 chapter, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, multiple, more than one, worlds were framed by the word of God. What worlds? The natural world and the supernatural. In other words, two systems. God created a natural system. And he created the supernatural system. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So, in other words, the wealth that God has designed for us is not going to come from this natural realm. So watch this. So now I'm going. I can. Galatians 3:13. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. In the third verse of Hebrews 11 chapter, we see that the worlds or the systems were framed by the word of God, so that things that we see were made by stuff we don't see. So we up here thinking the money that we're receiving was made here in the earth realm. But actually it happened in the supernatural and showed back up in the natural. Galatians 3:13 says Christ has what? Redeemed us from what? The curse of the law, right? You see that, right? We don't have to read the rest of that. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, right? Hebrews 11 and 3, we see that things that we see were made by something that we don't see, because the word of God set it up that way. He framed it that way. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, curse everyone that hangeth on the tree, all right? Go with me to Galatians, because see, we're going to have to take our efforts out the picture. So you got to remember now, we are crucified to the world and the world is crucified to us. So we're going to have to take sowing and put it first place above everything. We're going to put it above first place of us finding our job. We're going to put it above first place above us opening a business. We're going to put it first place above everything. Everything. You got to be first place of everything. Genesis, the first chapter. Because the curse put together you earning money or your efforts causing you to earn money. The curse put that together. God never did. We have to go back, as the apostles say, we have to go back to God's original plan. It was never designed for your efforts to prove how much you make. Your efforts were never supposed to be parallel to your income. But the world system says that your efforts have to parallel your income. But the spirit world says your income does not have to parallel your efforts. Genesis, the first chapter. Verse 11. God put the principle of seed time and harvest in place. Right? Verse 29 in that first chapter, he gave it to man. Right? Let's go to the second chapter. I'm about to show you something, how God had orchestrated his original plan. See, he set the system of seed time and harvest, then gave it to man. Now, God never said anything about man putting forth effort until the second chapter. So man receiving something was not hinged upon his efforts. It was all hinged upon his obedience to the Father and seed being sown. Are you seeing this? Second chapter, verse 4. It says, these are the generations or the history of the heavens and of the earth. When they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Verse 6, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Now, see, God in his infinite wisdom was trying to get something over to us. See, he said he watered the earth from under the ground. Now, watch this. The earth is round. Am I correct?
Yeah.
We've gotten past that as being flat. It is round. So God was watering the word, watering the earth from the inside. So growth takes place from the inside before it ever shows up on the outside. So your wealth is going to have to be a supernatural transaction. I receive. Are you seeing this? He said he watered the earth from the inside. Other words, from underneath. Other words, the water came from, watch this. God even tried to let that principle stay in place even after Adam messed up. But then the earth got so evil that God told Noah, I need you to build an ark because I'm going to let it rain. Other words, now it's going to come from the outside. That's where effort comes in at. Are you seeing this? Be seated. And there was not a man to till the ground. In other words, God said, I don't need the efforts of man. I don't need your efforts. I just need your obedience. I don't need your intelligence. I just need your obedience. Had no man to till the ground. Now watch this. Let's go to the third chapter. See, because you know, when Jesus, see, people think Jesus was just trying to be supernatural or super spiritual when he whooped the money changers out of the church. No, he wasn't being super spiritual. He was trying to get, his whole thing was to restore the kingdom. So because of us being so far away from God's original plan that we think we got to bring business into the church. In order for wealth to show up. We think we had to start doing other things beside what God has called us to do. Am I against business? No, I'm not against business, but I am for business in its place. I'm for working and having a job, but it has to be in its place. See, God told Adam, I want you to dress and keep the garden. He told him that way after he gave him the principle of seed time and harvest. So the two were never connected. Third chapter. Now, we know what happened in the third chapter. I don't have time to read all that. We know what happened. Satan came in the form of a serpent and got him to eat the fruit, all that kind of good stuff, and all that happened. And so watch this. Verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. See, God made this thing, he made it personal. He said, Adam, because of what you did, cursed is the ground for thy sake. So that means when Jesus came and died on that cross, got up, and presented himself to the Father, that means the ground is no longer cursed for us. He said, Adam, because of what you did. It's personal. Because of what he did. Christ, I don't have to be bound by what Adam did. The ground is no longer cursed for me. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. From out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and from unto dust thou shalt return. Wow. Are you seeing this? You may be seated. So God, see, God is merciful, because even though Adam messed up, he said, now you're going to have to till the ground. You're going to have to tell. So other words, he said, you're going to till it. I'm still going to give you seed, but now you're going to have to till it. Other words, you're going to have effort. You're going to have to depend on your abilities. You're going to trust yourself. The reason why that is because Adam decided that he was going to trust his own abilities when he ate the fruit. Christ has redeemed us from that curse. So no longer is the ground cursed for me. The ground is now blessed. Is this making sense? It's making sense for you. Go to Matthew's, the 25th chapter, because I need to start dealing with going back to God's original plan. But in going back to the original plan, I have to get rid of some misinterpretation of the scriptures. Matthew 25th chapter. Because see, here it is. See, I ain't got nothing against multi-level marketing. I ain't got nothing against it. I got a problem with it when you try to bring that foolishness into church. That's what I got a problem with it. Why you got to come to the church with it? And ignore God's original plan. I don't mind people doing business and stuff like that. That's how the earth turns. I don't mind that. But I got a problem when you take seed and try to do business with it. See, we can't keep straddling the fence. You know, what we like to do as Christians is we like to take God's word and then bring it over into the world system and try to make the world system work for us. The world system is not going to work for you. But God's system will. No matter how many times you try to take God's principles and put it on the world system, it won't work. So anytime you start trying to do anything else, anytime you start trying to prosper or focus on anything else besides seed time and harvest, it ain't going to work. See, because watch this. Dr. Thompson was a minister one time, and he said he had a vision and he saw a fish flopping on a bridge. And he said the Lord told him, kick the fish off the bridge and get it back in the water. Other words, God is pushing us back off of what we think we should be doing, off of our plans, off of the out of the natural, back into the supernatural. Are you seeing this? So what happens is we have to put all our energy on the seed first. Once God, watch this. Why should I put my seed? I told you Matthew 25. Go to Matthew the 6th chapter. Then we go to Matthew 25. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Watch this. Because the Holy Spirit reminded me of a statement that he definitely wanted me to say. I've said it before, but it's going to ring a bell today. It's going to register in your spirit today. Matthew, the 6th chapter. And I think it is. That's it. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now watch this, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is a principle. Jesus said this. He said, for wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So it is illegal for God to prosper you without first having your heart. But watch this. He's not controlling whether you prosper or not. You controlling that. Because he said, for where your heart is. So that means I have to take my heart and I have to put it on him. Are you seeing this? If my heart is not with him, then that means my treasure ain't going to be with him. If my treasure ain't with him, then why does he have, what right or what demands can you make on him to multiply your treasure? He said, for me, this is wherever your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. Go back to Galatians 6 chapter. 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 Then we'll go to Matthew 25. I ain't forgot. Then we'll go to Matthew 25. Galatians 6 chapter. Back to the 14th verse. God forbid that I should glory or I should become successful. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. So that means I cannot name the name of Jesus and put seed time and harvest behind anything else. See, Satan's whole objective is to try to defeat God in one way or the other. He's already defeated, but he still, for some stupid reason of his, I don't understand why. You know, Holy Spirit, I understand why. We keep giving him reason to believe that he can defeat God. We keep giving him reason that he can believe God, that he can beat God. We keep giving him reason that he can beat God. We keep empowering him that he thinks he can beat God. When God is all the time trying to convince us and let us know that he's already defeated foe. So his ultimate goal is to defeat God or make God look bad in some way. So what Satan likes to do, just watch this. This will happen to certain people. It happens to people in the body of Christ. They claim the name of Jesus without properly working the seed principle. They go out into the world system, work the world system, get rich. Are you listening to me? And then Satan all of a sudden comes in and takes everything. Now all of a sudden Satan turns around and said, look, that's your brother and sister. Look, they take to the world system. Look, sinners, that's a Christian. They say they're supposed to prosper. They say they're supposed to have it going on. Look, they lost it all. So now here it is. God is going through unnecessary embarrassment. Because you wouldn't trust his system first. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. I need you to understand that your wealth is a supernatural transaction. Now, we read in Hebrews 11, chapter 3, verse, that everything that is seen is made by something that is not seen. So what happens is, and I'm going to deal with this word, We really have an issue with how. That's what we really have an issue with. We really have an issue with how. That's what forces us to begin to try to work the world system. Matthew 25. We have an issue with the word how, and I'm gonna show you in a few moments how you're gonna deal with that. Matthew 25. Watch this. Matthew 25, verse 14. Now, a lot of you know this parable, and if you've been on this trail, what I mean by trail, the trail of returning to God's original plan concerning your money. If you've been on this path for any length of time, you've heard this passage, and you've heard this passage give people a reason to do business. But that's not the original purpose of this passage. It's not the original purpose. How I know? Watch this. Verse 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as. Other words, this is a parable that Jesus finna use what we do understand to explain something we don't see. Jesus finna use this to explain a principle or a kingdom that we don't see. That's why he starts saying, hey, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. On the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several. Let's use this word instead of ability, because ability be throwing y'all off. Ability be throwing y'all off because you think it's how intelligent you are. Or you think it's by how anointed you are. Or how you can do this and how you can do this and do that. And you think it's all based on your efforts when the word ability is here. But notice now. Notice. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Remember now, this is a parable. So we got to translate the word ability. We got to bring the word ability out of the natural into the supernatural. Because see, we're trying to get a supernatural lesson out of this earthly story. Are you seeing this? So watch this. Let's use this word ability to, and we're going to equate it to maturity. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his good. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1 according to his maturity. Not his ability. See, once, come on now. This is an earthly story. So we got to take the earthly story and translate it into supernatural means. So it's not talking about your ability. It's talking about your maturity. Oh, Holy Ghost, I love it. I love you, Holy Spirit. Woo! Watch this. Let's finish reading. Because the Holy Spirit takes stuff on the spot. And I'm learning myself, too. And the Holy Spirit is showing me stuff. Come on, let's go. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same. And made them other 5 talents. Traded. See, we like to use that word trade and equate it to the stock market. Right. And it's an earthly story.
Right. I see you.
See, when Jesus began to explain this, he had supernatural implications. Supernatural meanings he was trying to get across. But because he was dealing with a group of people that never experienced the teaching that he was releasing, he was breaking it down to equate it to something that they could understand. But they weren't supposed to stay with the earthly ramifications. They were supposed to translate that to the supernatural. So actually, traded here actually means sowing. Why would Jesus come and deny himself? Why would he come and tell you a story to do it another way from which he was dying for? Are you seeing this? Let's finish reading. Let's finish reading. Let's finish reading. And likewise, he had received the 2 talents. He did the same thing the 5 did. And he also gained other 2. Watch this now. Watch this. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants come and reckoned with them. So he that hath received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. That's maturity. He also that received, verse 22, that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Let me get to it. Get 2. This Bible messing up on me. Come on now. All right, there we go. He that received the 2 talents and also gained another 2, but he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants coming and reckoned with them. And so he had received the 5 talents, came and brought the other 5 talents, said, Lord, thou deliverest me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents. He said, Lord, unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful a few things, I'll make you rule over many. He that also received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he had received the 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man. Now you can see, because we have taken this parable and we have taken it out of the natural. And we have brought it into the supernatural. So now we can see why the guy with the 5 talents got the 5. We can see why the guy with the 2 talents got the 2. And we can see why the one with the 1 talent got the 1. Because watch this. He began to make false claims about the Lord. Verse 24. Then he said, with the 1 talent, said, Lord, I knew thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This man has trusted you with his goods. First you go and hide it. You don't believe his system. You don't believe, you don't trust him. But thou hast not sown and gathered where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest I reap where I had not sown and gathered where I had not strawed. Now, the King James Version kept reading, and if you don't have a reflection in your voice, you'll think that the Lord was agreeing with him. But let me read it this way. He said, and watch, the one thing said, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in earth. So, lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said, thou wicked and slothful servant. So you knew that I reap while I sow not. So that's what you think. So you think I gather while I had not straw. So that's what you think of me. That's how you treat. That's after all I poured out for you, after the price I paid with my life for you. This is how you think of me. If, watch this, I'm gonna show you that you're really not even trusting me. If you're gonna even use that excuse, you should have taken my money and at least put it in the system. If that's what you believe. But you didn't even do that. Thou art the therefore to put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I receive mine own with some interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. For unto him that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. Now, what is this saying? This is saying, you be seated. This parable is simply telling us that if you do not trust God's system of sowing and reaping, he has no reason to give you seed. He has no reason to bless your business. He has no reason to cause you to get increase on your job because you do not trust his system. That one man with the one talent didn't love God. Because if you love God, you're obeying. Ain't that what the Bible said? If you love me, you obey my commandments. See, here we go. I really don't like it when people come to me and come to me with business ideas. You know, I got a background in accounting. I ain't got no problem with that. I understand business, but I have a problem when people come to me with business ideas and want my input, but then as soon as I start talking about my first input, they don't want to hear that. When I start talking my way, all right, let's go. Before you start doing this, let's how you sowing? How is your giving? How is this happening? Are we gonna get this straight? No, they don't want to hear that. They want to know how they can go into the system and drag God with them. Now listen, when you get your sowing straight. Watch this. When you get your sowing straight and your trust straight, God will lead you into the system. I don't know how many examples we got throughout the Bible of God leading people into the system. I know there was men that were sitting outside a city and they received a prophecy saying, go and get these items because tomorrow they're going to sell for this much. That's God leading them into the system. But he, watch this. He's leading them into the system. He's leading them. Look, watch this. We live in this world. That means he's going to lead us into, he leaded us beside still water. He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But he's got to be leading me. He can't lead people who don't want to obey. He can't. One thing about a leader, it's hard for a leader to lead people that don't trust them. A leader can't lead people if the people following don't trust. So God can't lead you nowhere if you ain't trusting the system. See, watch this. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory or I should become successful in anything else save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul was really saying, I ain't going to become successful no other way but through seed time and harvest. I ain't getting healed no other way but by his stripes. I ain't going to heaven no other way but because he spilled his blood. Are you seeing this? He said in that 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, he said, I say to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Other way, Paul was saying them same three things. He said, I'm not going to try to get to my Father without going through the spilt blood of my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to go into health without going through them stripes. I'm not trying to prosper unless I go through the principle that he died for. Jesus became poor that you might become rich. Are you seeing this? Go with me too. Watch this. Holy Spirit, thank you again for bringing. Be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for bringing it back by remembrance. I was supposed to say it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I was supposed to say it earlier. We have to stop using our money as a measure of our ability. We have to stop using our money as a measure of our abilities. But we have to use it as an indication of our heart. We have to stop. See, we, the world has been crucified to us. And we have been crucified to the world. The world system takes money and measures their ability. That's why you get all. That's why you get the Forbes 400 list. That's why you get the 100 richest entertainers. Because they're trying to measure, take money to measure their ability. How good they are. How talented they are. You know, how intelligent I am in business. But that can't work for us. The reason why it can't work for us is because if I'm going back to God's original plan, then my efforts has nothing to do with my prosperity. So when I try to make my efforts produce what God has designed for me, it's going to be a train wreck. It's going to be two systems colliding, and it ain't going to work. The Bible says wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So watch this. So I have to begin to use my money as an indication of my heart. I give because I love God. I give because I want to see God's work grow. God, I'm give because I'm thankful for what you've done for me. See, I don't have to worry about what I'm going to get back. Matthew, the 6th chapter. See, God really made this easy. You may be seated. God really made this easy. It's just, we've been trying to use what we see to make what we see. We've been trying to use what we see to make what we see. When the Bible plainly says that what we see was made by stuff we can't see. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Come on now. Come on. Watch this. Matthew says, he made this, God, Jesus made this very plain. Very, very plain. Verse 33. He made this very plain. He made this very plain. I mean it was even in the Old Testament, God made it very plain. He said, I want the first fruit. He said, Elijah told that woman, go bake me a cake. What that does? Sowing is an action, but it is a supernatural transaction. So in other words, whenever I decide to do it first, that means I'm showing God where my heart is. I'm not just saying it, but I'm showing it. I'm doing an outward display of what I'm feeling on the inside. So whatever, first is very important. First is very important. God, matter of fact, God, when he coming through Egypt with them plagues, he asked for, he said the death angel was coming through. And what the death angel was looking for?
The first.
When the reason why Cain killed Abel is because Abel showed up with the Cain didn't show up with the first.
Right.
Are you seeing this? Other words, it was more about what? It was more about his motive than what he is.
Come on.
See, that's why you can start anywhere you are, with any amount of money you have. Because if you fall in love with Jesus, if you fall in love with his system, you can take wherever you have, wherever you at, and God will begin to work with you where you are. Because of you first. When you get money in your hand, what's the first thing cross your mind? When you get increase from anywhere, what's the first thing on your mind? You know, when that bonus check come in, what's the first thing on your mind? Matthew 6:33, seek ye
first.
All right. I said I was going to do this. John, seek ye first. John, the 14th chapter. First. First.
First.
First. When you get money in your hand, what's the first thing you think about? See, now. That is a learned behavior. That's a learned behavior. I have to present myself a living sacrifice. I got to do it. God's not going to do it for me. I have to do that. So I have to determine. I have to purpose in my heart. I got to have. I got the pre-plan.
Yeah, pre-plan. That's it. Yes, sir.
I have to have, this has to be on my mind so much to where whenever anything moving, the first thing I'm thinking about is what God wants.
Yeah, yeah. What does he want? Come on.
First. Watch this. John, the 14th chapter. You may be seated. Watch this now. Send me all with the word how. In Mark the fourth chapter, 26th verse, it says the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to, he sowed his seed. He get up, go to sleep, get up, and then the seed begins, it grows, and he says he knows not how. All right. Watch this. He said he begins to get, he go to sleep and get up. And he rise. Let me say this word, he rise. Now the word rise simply means not just to get up. Not to just jump out the bed. If you really look up the original meaning of that word, it means to collect your thoughts. So watch this. So when I sow my seeds, it's not based on my efforts. I'm going to sleep. I'm going through my normal processes of the day, what God tell me to do, I'm going to do. And watch this. And I rise. Yeah. Meaning when I get up in the morning, or whenever I do wake up, I work shift work, whenever I do get up, yeah, I'm going to collect my thoughts as to what's going to happen today.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
I collect my thoughts and prepare myself so in case the enemy shows up with some other fruit.
Yeah. All right.
I'm prepared. I collect my thoughts. Watch this. Because the Bible says the seed should spring up. Now, why it says should, because that's a conditional word. It should spring up if we keep our thoughts, watch this, and we keep our thoughts and we don't allow Satan to come off of us some other fruit. If we don't allow it to happen some other way.
Right.
John, the 14th chapter. It's question how. The reason why the question how comes up is because if you have the question of how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen, then you ain't deep enough. If the word how is going to happen, how is the money going to come in? When is going to come in? You ain't deep enough. You're going to have to dig a little deeper.
Yes, sir.
Going to see, because the question how should not come up. Oh, I'm killing y'all how this morning. I'm killing y'all how. That question shouldn't even come up. If that question come up, you ain't deep enough. If that question got up, you rose up and didn't collect your thoughts. Because we sowing, and then I'm trying to stand by how is from the enemy. How is from the enemy. God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So if God said that, and I'm working his principle, how shouldn't even be, but you know what brings how up? How comes up because we've been in the world system trying to prosper without God's way of doing it. So that's, now listen, don't get them, do not come into condemnation when I say this. Do not come into condemnation. Because, you know, when I say this, this is not meant for condemnation. This is meant to alert us where we are so we can make the necessary adjustments. Debt brings up the word how. Matter of fact, let me help some of y'all. Let me free some of y'all up. There's such a thing as good debt and bad debt. To tell the difference is very easy. It is very easy to tell a difference. When you hear this, it's very easy to tell the difference between good debt and bad debt. Because borrowing is not wrong. It's not wrong. I don't care who tell you that. It's not wrong. It's very easy. Here's how you tell the difference between good debt and bad debt. If what I purchase and I borrow, if it doesn't take away from my current level of soaring, if it allows me to stay at my current level of soaring and even increase, that's good debt. But if I borrow something and I have to decrease my level of soaring, All right. I don't have much time. When I borrow something and I decrease my level of sowing, that means I'm trying to glory in something else besides Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But if I buy and I borrow with understanding that this cannot eat up my seed, God will honor you for thinking about Him
first.
So in thinking about Him first, now you're going to have supernatural help to pay that thing off. See, this is a heart issue. It is a heart issue. See, it's not a mechanics issue. It's not mechanics. It's a heart issue. This is why Jesus looked at the widow's mite and was more impressed by the widow's mite than all the rest of them guys that was giving it up, because it was a heart. All right, let me finish here. Maybe see if we're going to close here. Maybe seated. We're going to close here. John the 14th chapter. Now we've always used this scripture in the 14th chapter of John. We've always used this scripture because we have a tendency to separate the gospel. We have a tendency to separate the gospel when the gospel is all inclusive. It's all inclusive. So when we read the scripture, we pretty much talking about going to heaven. That's what we're pretty much talking about. Pretty much talking about going to heaven. But let's read it through our prosperity eyeglasses this morning. John the 14th chapter, the 6th verse. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Other words, Jesus said, the way to prosperity is through me. You can't get to the Father's hand unless you come through me. My original purpose, watch this, I did not die for you to go in business, but I died for you to sow seed. I didn't die for you to do it some other way. I died so you could do it by God's prescribed order. Are you seeing this? I mean, I got 19 seconds. I'm done. But I just need you to understand that we have to go back to God's original plan. I'm done, Apostle.
Lord. We've been to school. I told you, I was telling you, I was trying to warn you. That's where his daughter get all that from. See how he dig, he's a digger. What is in a seed by looking at the seed? You must look at the God who's behind the seed. That's what he was saying to you. Number two. I just add that to it. God seemed hard because of improper teaching about prosperity. In this prosperity revival, all those boys have taught masterpieces. You can listen. And notice they were complimenting and completing each message. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the way a meeting's supposed to be run. We're not supposed to have no long range in a meeting. The rain is falling on people's finances because of the curse. God really want to water your finances from the inside. Now, Leroy have damaged the whole multi-level marketing that they brought into church. He have laid out this CD can straighten any church out. I mean, nail it, man. Purpose in your heart, you know, that's a scripture over in 2 Corinthians 9. And you will never fail financially. One more I'm going to give you, and then I'm going to read a prophecy to you. I think that boy, preacher's thing is such a masterpiece. You need to hear this prophecy right now. That was given to me some years ago. It's from somebody else, but it was given to me for a reason. How is a question of immaturity? How mean you have been deceived. Because there's no such word as how when you're working with God. You know, how you can do your part, but how God gonna do what he gonna do? Impossible. So, my brothers and sisters, there's coming a financial inversion shall increase in these last days. In other words, it's gonna be a turnaround. For you see, it is my desire to move in the realm of your financial prosperity. But release me, says the Lord. Release me that I may come in your behalf and move on your behalf. You heard that? For yes, yes, there shall be in this hour financial distress here and there. Well, we know about that, right? The economy shall go up and it will go down. But those that learn to walk in the word, they shall see the prosperity of the word come forth in this hour in a way that has not been seen by men in days past. That's what this prosperity revival is about. That's what my calling is about to the body of Christ. And I would listen to these CDs over and over again. He said, yes, there are coming a financial inversion, turnaround, in the world system. It's been held in the reservoir of wicked men for days on end. But the end is now. Those reservoirs shall be tapped and shall be drained into the gospel of Jesus Christ. It shall be done, says the Lord. It shall be done in the time allotted. And it shall, and so shall it be that the word of the Lord shall come to pass, that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Predominantly in two ways shall it be done in this hour. Those that have hoarded up and stored because of the inspiration of the evil one and held the money from the gospel shall be converted and drawn into the kingdom, and then shall it release that reservoir into the kingdom. But many, many will not. They will not heed the voice of the word of God. They will turn aside to this and they will turn aside to that, and they will walk in their own ways. But their ways will not work in this hour. It will dwindle, and it shall slip away as though it was in bags with holes in them. It'll go here and it'll go there, and they'll wonder why it's not working now. It worked in days past, they'll say. But it shall be, saith the Lord, that the word of the Lord shall rise within men. Watch this now. Men of God of low esteem in the financial world that shall claim the word of God to be their very own and walk in light of it as it has been set forth in the word and give. Listen, just a few more things. Now watch this now, because this verse is so important. Every message we have taught you this week, watch this. They'll begin to give small at first because that's all they have. But then it will increase. And through the hundredfold return shall the reservoirs be lost from the wicked and turned to the gospel. For it shall be in this hour that you will see things you have never dreamed come to pass. Or it'll be strong at first in ways, then it will grow greater and greater until men will be astounded and the world will stand in awe, because the ways of men have failed and the ways of God shall come forth. Listen, I'm almost through. As men walk in the word, so shall they walk in the ways of the Lord. Oh, yes. There will be some who say, yes, but God's ways are higher. Surely higher than our ways, and we can't walk in those. It is true that the ways of God are higher. They are higher than your ways, as the heavens are above the earth. But I'll teach you. That's what we've been trying to do. That's what we're having to do. See, this group here, this is a special group here this year. Your special group. He said, you'll never forget this meeting. He said, but I'll teach you to walk in my ways, he said. And I never did say you couldn't walk in my ways. Now learn to walk in it. And then he said right after that, learn to give. See, the other way he said giving is walking in my ways. So shall the inversion of the financial system revert. And so shall it be that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world. And there shall be no lack in the kingdom. Tell somebody. Now the Lord has said no lack in the kingdom. Tell somebody. Now he said there shall be no lack in the kingdom. Wait a minute. I got something else I want you to tell him. He said there shall be no lack in the kingdom, right? Huh? Tell somebody, I'm in the kingdom. You got it? No, you ain't got to tell somebody else. I'm in the kingdom. See, there shall be no lack in the kingdom. You got that? There shall be no lack in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. But remember now what Leroy taught you. First, Matthew 6:33. It's got to be first, see? Then he says in the closing here, those that give shall walk in the ways of the supernatural. They shall be known abroad. My word shall spread, and the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth in that day and the hour in which you stand. You shall see it and know it, for it is of me, and it shall come to pass, says the Lord. Give the Lord praise. It was such a great message. I wanted to prophesy that over you again. To say that I used this prophecy. This prophecy has been out since 1978. Gloria Copeland gave it to me. Charles Capp was in Hawaii. And let me tell you what I believe. I believe this was my ministry. See, Gloria told me I preached 31 days for Gloria them. Straight. And Gloria, I think I missed one or two, but Gloria told me, said, I believe this for you. Read this. And it marks my ministry. And so, you know, you begin giving small, but finally you come to increase. Isn't the Lord good? Let's give the Lord some praise. What a word. What a word. What a word. What a word. I want to see, do you see the overlap? He started talking about love. That's what Montreal was talking about. See, he just wrapped up, all those messages wrapped together. And I'm thankful. Them young men have done some preaching this week, boy. Come on now, y'all. Come on, give it to him. What I'm thankful about, we're going to leave, but what I'm thankful about, the substance. You know, it's not just trying to make a message. Substance. You got something to eat. I go to a restaurant. I don't let you. I don't care how pretty the restaurant is. But say, I want a nice restaurant, but it's a food in mind. I go there to eat. And you certainly have eaten this week. How many of y'all lives been changed? Yeah, you see what happened. Boy, I want to close here, but you see what happened. You just stirred me up, man. See what happened? The church have not really known what she has. The blessings on the church. But somebody come along and tell us about some deal. And so we believe we can make it faster. Now, I didn't get rich outside the church. God made me rich. That's why Abram wouldn't take none of that stuff. They want to give him some stuff. Hold up. He said, hold up. Give them guys that something to eat. But I don't want nothing because I don't want you to take it from me. God made me rich. And so, you know, Shut down. Let's just give. Shut down. I ain't going to quit. Shut down. It's time to give. I'm not going to quit. Time to give. Trying to give, yeah, I'm not.